Begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin daf hey. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the series of these Mishnahs discussing the topic of our first parak of Edim Zayman, specifically regarding what is the remuneration, what's the collection of from the Edim Zayman. So the Mishnah describes there's a difference regarding what it is that they attempted to do to the defendant, which the Allah of Kasha Zom is that they get the same punishment. Says the Mishnah, Mishalshin B'mamit. They divide the obligation of the Hazama, when the two witnesses become Huzim, they divide it monetarily, as the Mishnah is going to explain, but they do not divide it when it comes to lashes. Ketzad, how is that so? Explains the Mishnah. If they were testifying falsely, which they were later Huzim, that this guy is liable to pay his friend 200 zuz, v'nimtzu zayman, and then it turns out that the witnesses were lying and they were huzim, mishalshin b'nein, so they divide amongst the two of them, like two witnesses, three witnesses, whatever it is, let's say there's three witnesses, so each one gives a third for the amount, for the total of the 200 zuz. Avalim hiduhu shu chayv malkas aboyim v'nimtzu zayman, but let's say they were testifying that he's liable for lashes, which are 39. Then says the Mishnah, we don't divide up, let's say, amongst the three Edim that he gets 13 and he gets 13 and he gets 13. Rather, call echad ve'echad le'karbam, rather each one of the false witnesses get the 39 lashes themselves. So the Gemara says, not immediately, where do we know that each one is going to get the 40 lashes, in contrast, as we see by regarding monetary payment, that it's the sum total of them which has to give to the defendant what they were trying to make him liable, that they get the punishment themselves. Where do we see that it's different regarding the halacha of lashes? So Amabai, he says, Nema, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Rasha b'chiv malchus. It says, regarding the liability of lashes, it says the terminology of Rasha, as it says, in bin ha'kaisa Rasha, that if the wicked person is going to get hit, that he's going to have to get lashes. V'nema, it says the Pasuk in Midbar, Rasha b'chiv misis best, and it says the terminology of wicked, regarding someone who's liable for the death penalty, like it says, Ashehu Rasha lamas, which is a wicked person to be killed. So that teaches us the following Gezeirah Shavah. Just like over there by Chiv Mises Bezin, there's no halfway killing. Someone that's going to get killed, it's a total death. Afkan ein malchus lamechza, so to over here, there's no halfway lashes. The liability of lashes, which the Edim Zayman are obligated in, to get lashes is only when it's a complete entity of lashes, which is 39. He can't get 13 and he gets 13, because that's not lashes. Just like the death penalty, you can't get a halfway death. So to lashes, the Gezeirah Shavah tells us it has to be a total, complete entity, which therefore each one, regarding the halacha of Hazama, would have to have his own 39 lashes. Rav Amar, he gives a different interpretation. He says, because Be'ina, we need to fulfill what the Pasuk says, Kasha Zamim Lasas La'achim, like what he plotted to do to his brother, which was that the defendant was going to get, which was a complete lashes, and that's what's supposed to happen to the witnesses. Now, Valeka, that's not going to happen. If this witness is going to get only 13, well, that's not what he had attempted to do to his brother, which was going to get 39, and therefore, he has to get what he was going to do to him, which is 39 lashes. Now, ask the Gemara, Hiachi, but if that's the case, Mamanami, so then money should be the same way. Why are we saying that, let's say the two witnesses for the 200 zuz, each one gives 100, as the Mishnah said, Mishalshim Mamaman, but why? He attempted to make his friend lose 200 zuz, why is he only paying 100? Says the Gemara, because Mamin Mitzdarf, money can be combined. Now, so ultimately, that defendant, the one who was falsely accused, will ultimately receive from the witnesses what they had attempted to make him lose by the sum total. He'll give 100. So what they were going to try to make him lose, which is 200, he's getting back exactly that amount from the Edim Zayman, and because money could combine. But Malchus, lo mitzdarf, however, lashes does not combine. There he's not getting anything from them. It has to be done to them what they wanted to do to him, and there's no way to combine his lashes with his lashes. Therefore, by lashes, that does not apply. It's not appropriate. So each one has to get 39 lashes, in contrast to money, where that could combine, and therefore that would be fulfilling kasha zamim lasis la'achim. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the primary concept, which actually the beginning of the Masechta opened up by asking, how do we understand the opening Mishnah, the primary halacha of Edim Zayman, which we explained in the Gemara was, actually it's not Edim in the full-fledged context of Zayman. This Mishnah describes the mechanics of how Hazama works. Says the Mishnah, Ein Eidim Nasim Zaymin. Witnesses not become this, not Hakasha. Many times you could refute Eidim, but there's a unique halacha of that they become Zaymin, which is that they get what they had plotted to do to someone else, they get the same punishment. That will only happen at Sheyizimu Es Asman, until the other pair of witnesses, the second pair, do Hazama to the actual witnesses themselves. Not regarding, by refuting them, regarding the murderer or the one who got murdered, as the Mishnah is going to explain. Rather, it has to be regarding the witnesses themselves. Explains the Mishnah Ketzad, how so? The Mishnah says, let's say Amru, that they say, the original pair of witnesses, the false witnesses, Me'idun anu b'ish pleini, we testify regarding that person, Shahari gets a nefesh, he murdered somebody. Amru lehem, so then the second pair of witnesses come and tell the first pair of witnesses, Heich at Me'idun, how can you say that testimony? Shahari neregze, oy ha'hoiregze, how can you say you saw this guy murder that guy on that day in that place, but either the murderer or the victim, Hayi imanu oisayim b'maka pleini, they were with us somewhere else at that same day. Says the Mishnah, Ein Elu Zaymin. If that was what the second pair of witnesses was testifying, the first pair of witnesses would not become Eidim Zaymin. Because the second pair of witnesses was refuting them in the context of either the murderer or the victim. Avul Amr Lahem, but if let's say the second pair of witnesses said to the first pair, Heich Atem Eidim, how are you saying such testimony? Shari Atem Hayisam Imanu Oisayim B'Makam Pleini. You yourselves were with us on that same day, somewhere else. How can you say you saw that guy murder at that time in a different place? Then, says the Mishnah, Re'elu Zayman, that makes them into Eidim Zayman. V'nerag and Alpim, and they get executed based on the testimony of the second pair of witnesses. Now, moreover, continues the Mishnah, Bo Acherim. Let's say other witnesses come, and they say the same testimony like the first pair of witnesses. They say also that they saw this guy murder that person at that time. V'zimum. And the same second pair of witnesses now does hazama to this first pair of witnesses, just like they did by the first one, they do the same thing to this later pair of witnesses. And it continues, Bo'acherim v'zimum. Another pair of witnesses come and say, we saw this guy murder this guy in that place in that time. And the second pair, the same pair, does hazama to them too. Well, how could you have said that and seen that? You with us in that place. Says the Mishnah, says the Tanakhama, Afila, even if they are Meya, 100 groups, one after another, and there's one same second group that does hazama to all of them, kulam yahargu. All the pair of witnesses are going to be executed, because that's the halacha of hazama. That if another pair of witnesses come and say, regarding your testimony, that how could you say that you saw that happen, you with us at that time, they're believed, even though it's a chiddush, because why should we believe them more than the first pair? But that's the halacha of hazama. And therefore, even if it's 100 pair of witnesses, we're going to believe this one pair of witnesses who's doing hazama to all of them. However, Behudaim, he disagrees. He says, Istatus hizu. This group that's being mazim everybody is the word istatus from the Sherish of Satya, which is from like Sarah, which is deviant, which is they obviously are complicit here in that they made up their mind that they're going to do hazama to every pair of witnesses that's going to try to execute this guy as a murderer. Because there are 100 groups. They were with them at that same time and somewhere else. Therefore, Rabbi Huda disagrees and he says, "Ve'ena nerig el katar shein blavad." Therefore, only the first pair of witnesses, they were mazim, is going to be executed. But all the other ones, it's obviously that there's some type of a plot over here, and we have no way of refuting them. But it doesn't make sense that 100 pair of witnesses, they're going to be mazim, and we're not going to execute the rest of them through the halacha of azam. So the Gemara says, where do we know this halacha of our Mishnah regarding the primacy of the context of Hazama, that it's like we said regarding the Gufa Eidim, that they have to say, how could you have said that you with us somewhere else? So Amar Vadi says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, where it begins that it says that the judges will inspect very well, and it says, Vihine, and behold, Eid Sheker Ha'eid, that the testimony is by false witnesses. Sheker Anna, he's saying something false regarding his brother. Which, this is in the context of the parasha of Eidim Zayman, where they found out that these witnesses are saying false testimony. But what you see from the terminology of the pasuk is, Ashet Shaker Gufishal Eidus, until the actual body of the witnesses has been proven to be false. Because it says, Eid Sheker. Not the Eidus is Sheker, not their testimony is false, the witnesses are false. What does it mean their witnesses are false? You weren't even there at that time, you with us somewhere else. That's how Hazama works, that's when we say Kash Hazama. Another interpretation, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, it was told in the Brayse of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel with an earlier Pasuk, which is in the Parsha of Eidim Zayman, says that when if a thieving witness will get up regarding a man, lanisbay, to say regarding him, Sarah. Now the word Sarah is a testimony that is removed, meaning it's going to be removed from here. What does that mean? Because the halach of edim zaymin is achetisara gufish aledus until the whole act, the whole element of their testimony is removed from it. What do you mean the whole element? It's because you weren't even there. How could you have said that your whole thing doesn't start? That's how we know that the halach of edim zaymin is in the context of the whole witnesses, not that the murderer wasn't there or the victim wasn't there. You weren't there. The whole thing doesn't start. It was all made up. And therefore, that's how we know that halacha of edim zaymin is uniquely, if the second pair of witnesses tell the first pair, how could you have said that you weren't even there, you with us, somewhere else at the same time? Now, relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings it, Amar Rava. Rava says, Bo ushnaim ba'amru, if two witnesses come and they say, B'mizrach bira, in the west of this large mansion, Harig plenias nefesh, that person murdered somebody. Then the second pair of witnesses come and they say to the first pair of witnesses, which is the element of Hazama, what do you mean? How could you have seen what was on the east and said that you saw that murder on the east of the of that mansion, but you with us at that same time in the western part of that mansion? So says Rava Chazinan. So we see. If when a person is on the western part of that mansion, you could see what's on the eastern part of the mansion, so ein elu zaymin. So that doesn't make them into the zaymin, because yeah, they could have been on one side and seen by the what was happening on the other side. But if not, if it's so far, then harei elu zaymin. So then that's hazama, because how could you have say what happened over there when you were on this side and you couldn't have seen at that time? So that's a pretty obvious halacha. Says Gemara, no, ma'u detem, what would you think to say, lechu shalom ha'ir bari, that we should be concerned that maybe the vision of these original witnesses is very strong, and they were able to see very far, more than a regular person, and therefore maybe, even though they're one side, and a regular person can't see, they were able to, and therefore there should not be hazama. Kamashman, that's the chiddush of Rabbah, that we don't imagine things that are fantastical, things that are beyond the norm, and therefore, if it's testified regarding them, that they were on the other side, that you normally can't see, that is hazama. Similar halacha of Amar Rava. Rava says, Bo shnayim ba'amruf. Let's say two witnesses come and they say, Besura, in this place, Sura, Betzafra, in the morning, Bechab Shabbata, on Sunday, Harig plenias nefesh. This guy murdered somebody. Bo shnayim ba'amruf. Then the second pair of witnesses come and they say, Bepanya Bechad Shabbata, in the evening on Sunday, Imanu ha'yisim in Arda. You with us in Arda, different place in Bavel. So says Rava Chazina, we see. If from morning till evening, Matzi Azlam Asulun Nada, a person could get from Surah to Nada, so Labazama, that's not Hazama. Yeah, in the morning they were there, and at night they were there. Vila, but if not, you can't. It's not possible to travel that amount of time. So Habazama, that would obviously be Hazama. How could you say you were there in the morning and saw the murder, when in the evening, which wouldn't be enough time, you're with us somewhere else? So Zimah says, Pshita, that's also an obvious halacha. Says Zimor, no, what would you think to say, Lechush Legam Leparcha, that even though normally you can't get from Surah to Narda in that amount of time, but maybe we should be concerned that they had what's called a flying camel. They had certain camels which were so swift and light, like a flying bird. Maybe we should say that that's what was. Kamashwan, that no, we're not chayish for things that are fantastical, things that are beyond the norm. And since that's not what we assume, therefore that is going to be a valid hasama. Another halacha of Amar Rava, he says, Bo shnayim ba'amru. Two witnesses come and they say, Bechad b'shabbat ha'horik plenias ha'nefesh. On Sunday, this guy murdered somebody. Bo shnayim ba'amru. Then another pair of witnesses come and they say, Imanu ha'yisim bechad b'shabbat. What do you mean? How could you say that you saw on Sunday that this guy murdered that guy? You with us somewhere else on Sunday. Ella, rather, you know what the second pair of witnesses say? Betray b'shabbat ha'horik plenias ha'nefesh. You're wrong. He didn't kill him on Sunday. That you're lying. You're with us on Sunday. Rather, we know, says the second pair of witnesses, that he actually murdered him on Monday. Now, v'loyoy, not only that, Rava says, this halacha is interesting, that elafula amru, even if the mazimin say that you're wrong, he didn't murder him on Sunday, and you guys are liars because you're with us on Sunday, but rather, Erev Shabbos harig plenias ha'nefesh. Actually, on Friday, before Sunday, they're actually making the date earlier than the first pair of witnesses, is when he murdered that guy. So says Rava that these Edim Zaymin are going to be Neharagin. The first pair of witnesses are going to be executed. And the Chiddush in that is that we don't say that they were trying to testify regarding a dead man. Why? Why don't we say that? Because what do you mean? Even the second pair of witnesses are admitting that he did murder. They're just saying that you're lying regarding when it happened. Because says Rava de Be'idna de Komasadi, at the time when the first pair of witnesses were testifying, which let's say was on Tuesday, they came to testify and they said that this guy murdered him on Sunday. Even though they're testifying on Tuesday, which even the second pair of witnesses admit that, yeah, he murdered him, but they're saying on Monday or even on Friday, but at the time when they were testifying, the first pair of witnesses, Gavalav Bakatalahu, that man, the defendant, was not a dead man. It was never testified regarding him in court. And therefore, had he come and, let's say, admitted by himself, he would have been exempt. So it comes out that this first pair of witnesses were incriminating him and creating a liability for the death penalty for someone that wasn't yet fit for the death penalty. Although later on, the second pair of witnesses say that he murdered even on the earlier date, that doesn't make a difference. But up until then, no one knew that. And since this first pair of witnesses wanted to execute him and they were lying and they were forged through the element of Azama, therefore they get the death penalty. Now the Gemara asks, "My Kamash Malan, what is Rabbi teaching us with this halacha? That what? That even though the defendant is getting killed, still the Eid Mzayman will get killed?" Which one would think, well, why would he get killed? If ultimately the guy's deserving of death anyway, because even the second pair of witnesses admitting he did murder, it's just we were lying regarding when, why did they get executed? On that says, the Gemara, if that's what Rabbi's Chiddush is, but that Tanina, that we learned in the Mishnah on the next daf, Navav Mabez, that says clearly regarding when this two different pairs of witnesses testifying regarding the same thing through different windows, the Mishnah there describes that we consider them as two sets of witnesses, not as one big set of witnesses. And therefore the Mishnah says over there, Lefikach, therefore, it could come out that Nimtzis Achas Mehen Zememes, if one of the two pairs of witnesses, meaning from the four people, two people, which is their own pair of witnesses, are Huzim, so you could come out to be Hu Vehein Neragin, the defendant and the pair of Zememin witnesses will be executed, because one pair of witnesses were Huzim, and the defendant was actually prosecuted by the other pair of witnesses, which was not Huzim. Vashni Patur and the other pair of witnesses, which was not Huzim, they'll be exempt. But one thing you see from that Mishnah is that it's possible for the defendant to ultimately be killed for the crime that he did, and yet still the Eid Mzayman, who were found out to be lying, they will also be executed for what they attempted to do, even though ultimately he's going to be killed, but from a different pair of witnesses. So what's Rava teaching, if that's already taught in the Mishnah on the next half? So the Gemara is Seifa. The end of the second half of Rava's halacha, which is the other way around, which is Masha Enkin Bigmardin, which would not apply regarding if their testimony was regarding the verdict, regarding the if there's hazama of witnesses regarding that a verdict was handed down, that's what Rava needed. You're right. The first half of his halacha, which was one way regarding liability in both situations, that wasn't necessary, because yeah, that's a mission later on. It was regarding a halacha of that they testified regarding the verdict that they're going to be exempt, that's what Rava needed. Because the second half of Rava's halacha is as follows. If two witnesses come and they say, so they're not testifying regarding the murder. They're testifying that on Sunday, there was a verdict handed down that this guy is guilty of the death penalty. Then the second pair of witnesses come and say in this court, and they say, no, how can you say that? How can you testify that you saw this guy's verdict in that other court on Sunday, when that time and Sunday you were with us somewhere else? Ella rather says the second pair of witnesses, the Erev Shabbos Nigmar Dina Shel Pliny. Actually, it was earlier, but a different date. On Friday was when the verdict was handed down against this guy. Now, not only that, Ella Fila Amr Betrei B'Shabbat Nigmar Dina Shel Pliny, even if the second pair of witnesses say that actually the verdict was not on Sunday, it's actually a later date, it was actually on Monday, so the second pair of witnesses are even belating the date of the Gemara Din, but yet, however, they agree to the first pair of witnesses when, by the time that they were coming to testify in the second court, which was on Tuesday, the second pair of witnesses admitting that, yes, there was yesterday a Gemara Din, so, but even though they're making a date later, however, in both these cases, Ein Elu Nerag and the first pair of witnesses are not going to be executed. Why? Because the Be'inu de Komasadi, at the time when they come to say their testimony on Tuesday, Gavar Bar Katalu, the guy was a dead man already. Why was he a dead man? Because there was already Gemar Din, there was already a verdict handed down, which is already, he's dead. If someone would kill him, then he already has no blood. And the second pair of witnesses admit to that, even if they're saying a later date. But they're saying it wasn't on Sunday, they're saying it on Monday. But by the time when they're both coming to testify on Tuesday, first the first pair of witnesses and the second pair of witnesses said, no, you guys are lying, it wasn't Sunday, it was Monday. But either way, when they testified, everyone admitted that he was a dead man, including the second pair of witnesses, and therefore that's not going to qualify for the halacha of Hazama, because anyway, there's nothing that they were doing to him that wasn't already, that he was liable for, he was already a dead man. That halacha is not taught in the Mishnah, and that's what Rav was teaching. Says Rava v'chein le'inin tashlum miknas, and the same differential applies to the halacha of a payment of a penalty, which is not a monetary obligation, but rather something like kefal, something beyond the primary obligation, where the halacha generally is if someone's made the miknas, or someone himself, the one who the perpetrator, he admits what he did, he's going to be exempt. That halacha is the same as dinin nefashis, where, as we said, there's a difference between if the first pair of witnesses are testifying regarding the actual act, like we said regarding the murder, where there we said that he's going to be, the first pair of witnesses are going to be chayib in either way, or if they're testifying regarding the verdict, where there we said that, that the first pair of witnesses are going to be exempt in either way. Why? As Rav explains, let's say bo shnayim bo amr, let's say a pair of witnesses come and they say, b'chad b'shabata on Sunday, ganav v'tavachu machar. This individual stole, he slaughtered or he sold that animal, which that creates a liability of what's called dal vehei, depending if it's an ox or a sheep. You have to pay four or five times the amount of what was stolen, which is a knas, because the monetary obligation is just the primary ox or the sheep. The halacha of the Torah of knas is a liability of four or five times that amount. Now, bo shnayim bo amru, then the second pair of witnesses came and said, wait a second, how could you say that you saw this guy do these things on Sunday, b'chad b'shabbat imono ha'yisim? On Sunday, you with us somewhere else? Rather, says the second pair of witnesses, it was on Monday that he stole and he slaughtered and he sold. So then says Rava, Mishalman. So then the first pair of witnesses have to pay because of the halacha of kashazam. Now, v'loy oy, not only that, elafilo amru, even if the second pair of witnesses said, be'erv Shabbos gana b'tavach ha-machar, even if they're actually making the date even earlier, still the halacha is going to be Mishalman, the first pair of witnesses is going to have to pay because of kashazam. Why? To be in the komasadi, as we said before, because when the first pair of witnesses had testified, gavra lav bar tashluminu, the defendant yet wasn't a person that was obligated in a monetary payment. And the reason for that is because he could have exempted himself if he would have came to court and admitted, you know, I stole and I slaughtered and I sold, the halacha would be maydu b'knas is pater. So it comes out that the first pair of witnesses, they were the ones that created the loss. Now, this halacha is uniquely, as Rabbi is saying, regarding the laws of penalty. But regarding if this was a testimony regarding a monetary obligation, like the laws of damages, then the first pair of witnesses would not be creating a loss for him at all, because since there's an intrinsic obligation regarding a monetary loss, so then that they're not creating any obligation. That is there. They're just testifying. And the second pair of witnesses would be admitting to that obligation. Therefore, they wouldn't be creating any loss. In contrast to Eidei Knas, their testimony itself is what's creating the loss. And therefore, even though the second pair of witnesses are admitting to it, but at the time they testified, it was them who was trying to create that loss. And therefore, they're obligated in kashazam. Now, the flip side is also the same. Bo shnayim bo amru. Let's say a pair of witnesses come and they say, that they say that on Sunday this guy stole, slaughtered, and sold or sold, and his verdict was handed down that he's liable for the obligation of four or five times the amount that he stole. And then the second pair of witnesses came and they said, how could you say that on Sunday you with us somewhere else? It's actually on Friday that is when this thing happened. Now, not only that, even if they said that on Sunday, regarding Sunday that you said that this happened, they're saying that, yeah, on Sunday is when he stole and he slaughtered and he sold, but even if they're delaying the date and they say on Monday they're disagreeing with the first pair of witnesses, it's only then that the verdict was handed down. Still says Rava Ein Mishalman. They're the first pair of witnesses are not going to have to pay. Why? At the time when the first pair of witnesses testified, because even the second pair of witnesses agreed to this, Gavar Bar Tashlumin Hu, the defendant was already obligated in a monetary payment. When the first pair of witnesses was testifying, klapish ma'igalia, meaning we know, retroactively, we know it's revealed, that the court had already obligated him that obligation. And therefore, even if the guy would admit and say what? Admit to the liability that the court had made him responsible, that would not have exempted him. And therefore, since we know that with the second pair of witnesses, it comes out that the first pair of witnesses never attempted to do and create anything that wasn't really true, and the obligation was not coming through them, and therefore, that's not going to qualify for kashas amim. That's the difference we find by dini knasas and dini nefashas, contrast to dini mamonis, regarding if their testimony of the first false witnesses was regarding the act or regarding the verdict. Regarding the act, they're always going to be liable. Regarding if they're testifying regarding the verdict, there, since the obligation is already there, it's intrinsically there. Therefore, although their testimony was false, but they weren't really making him liable for anything that wasn't already there, as the second pair of witnesses verify, even though they're the ones who being mazim then, there they're not going to be liable for kashazam. Now the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda Oimi, he said that he disagreed with the Tanakam, and he says, Istatus hizu. How can you say that if there's a pair of witnesses who testify this guy murdered that guy on that day, and there's one pair of witnesses, that every pair of witnesses that come and testify regarding the murder say, no, you with us somewhere else, no, you with us somewhere else, no, you with, and even 100 pairs. He says, this is obviously a pair of witnesses that have a conspiracy here, and therefore, only the first pair of witnesses that they were mazim are going to be executed, the rest, we're not going to say azama. So as we continue, Tamid Beis, the Gemara asks, "E is status hisu?" If Rabbi Yehuda holds that this pair of witnesses that are being mazim everyone are some type of rogue witnesses who are doing anything just to disqualify anyone from prosecuting this murderer, then even the first pair of witnesses that were mazim should not be murdered either. What's the difference? Why the first one then going to be the victims of this conspiracy of this pair of witnesses? So Amr Bavoi says, "You're right. It's too much shakad mabaharu. It's too much where." The first pair of witnesses were already executed before the second pair came. So then that's already done. Once we see they're doing it a second time, then we go, these guys, something's wrong over here. We can't execute every pair of witnesses because of this one pair. Now the Gemara asks, how can you say that's the interpretation? But then my dehava hava, whatever was, was. Why would the Mishnah, why would Rabbi Yehuda have to say in this halacha, the only one that's going to be executed is the first one? Well, that was already. It sounds like he's saying a halacha. Not that, okay, that's collateral damage that already happened. Elamarava, rather, Rabbi says, Hachakam. Now, this is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Im eina elakat achas nereges. If there's only one pair of witnesses that they're being mazim, so then we'll say that, okay, we believe that the Torah says the second pair of witnesses, more than the first one, that they're going to be executed. Ikatfei eina ragin. If there's more than one pair of witnesses, then we go, oh, something shady. What? Every person, every pair of witnesses, they were with them fishing on that day, then they're not going to be killed. So that's what it means to say that. That the first pair gets executed, meaning if there's only one. But if there's more, then you're right, then no one's going to be executed. But that the Gemara is Habavad Kama. But the wording that was used was that only the first pair, which sounds like that there are other pairs, and yet still only the first pair is going to be executed. The way Rava answered was that if there's only one pair, then they'll be executed. But the word Balvad sounds like that there are other pairs that they were mazim, but only the first pair is going to execute it, which is not like Rava. So Zigmar Kashi has a difficulty. It's not a refutation, but it's a difficulty. Then what would the word Balvad sounds like there are other pairs of witnesses, and yet still we're going to execute the first pair and not the others, which is difficult. Why should that be? Now the Gemara brings a halacha, an incident relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah. There was a certain woman, she brought witnesses regarding a certain court case, and the witnesses were found to be false. Meaning, when the court went and asked them all the different questions to inspect them, they ended up contradicting themselves, and we had to throw out their pair of witnesses. Again, she brought a different pair of witnesses, and they were found to be false. And then she brought a third pair of witnesses that we weren't able to prove that they were false. They weren't contradicted. However, Amr Shlakish, she says, Huchzakazu. This woman has already been established that she brings false witnesses. And therefore, we're not going to accept any other witnesses to testify for her, to validate her point in this case. Because we see that, yeah, okay, we just weren't able to disprove them, but we see already one pair of witnesses, two pair of witnesses, and therefore, we're not going to take witnesses from her. On that, Amr Shlakish said to Amr Shlakish, what? If the woman has already been established that she attempts to try to bring false witnesses, that I agree with you, but kol Yisrael mehuchzeku, do you think all the Jewish people have a chazakah on themselves to listen to her, that we should establish and presume that the other witnesses are going to be false? Says Rabbi Elazar, no, this pair of witnesses, we assume every yid has a cheskas kashas, that they're true witnesses, and we're not going to disqualify them because that this woman has ulterior motives. Now Zimna, in a different time, Havayasri Kameh Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Loza and Rosh Lakish were sitting in front of Rabbi Yechanan. And Asa Kiyai Maisla Kameh, and the same type of incident came in front of them. So Amr Shlakish, he says, Huchzakazu, as he said in the previous discussion. He said that the woman already has a presumption that she brings false witnesses, and therefore we're not going to qualify this third witnesses, even though they weren't contradicted. On that, on Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon said to Rish Lakish, "Im huchzeka zu, if this woman has a chazaka, kol yisrael mihuchzeku, does all the Jewish people have a chazaka that they're going to be false? No, we will qualify this third pair of witnesses." So hadachazye, so Rish Lakish then turned his face and he looked, Rabbi Elazar bishus, he gave Rabbi Elazar a sour face, because Rish Lakish understood that obviously Rabbi Elazar had heard this teaching from Rabbi Yechonon, but when he told it to Rish Lakish, he didn't say it over the name of Rabbi Yechonon. So Amar Lei, so Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Elazar, Shamat mili mi Bar Nafcha, you hear a teaching from the name of Bar Nafcha, meaning which is a reference to Rabbi Yechonon, V'lei Amar Li Mishmei, you don't tell it to me in his name, what do you mean, you just say it over in your own name, you should have told to me that it was Rabbi Yechonon who taught this halacha. Now says the Gemara, what's the machloikis over here between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Elazar? Says the Gemara, Lema Rish Lakish Damer Rabbi Yehuda. Let's say that Rish Lakish is like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who he said that when there's a pair of witnesses that's Mazam 1, 2, 3, 4, that we said that that's a istatus, which is that they have a chazaka, we would already presume that there's a conspiracy here that they're trying to be Mazam, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies them. Which sounds like Rish Lakish, who says the same thing over here. This woman has a presumption already that she's going to find false witnesses, and therefore we're going to disqualify her witnesses. Which Rabbi Yechon, Amik Rabbana. Similarly, Rabbi Yechon, who does not disqualify, and allows if the woman finds on her 10th pair of witnesses or kosher witnesses, it's going to be kosher, is like Rabban, who says that we're not going to create a chazaka of falsehood, even if this second pair of witnesses is mazam 100 pair of witnesses. Rish Gemara says, no, each one could say that he's like the other Tana. I'm Lachor Rish Lakish, he could tell you. I know the Amir Lach, I feel the Rabban, I could be even like the Rabban. Because Ad can like Amir Rabban Hasam, where do we find Rabban who say in our Mishnah that there's no chazaka, even if this pair of witnesses being mazam 100 pair of witnesses regarding their testimony that they saw the murderer? That's because the Lekha de Kamahadr. There's nobody that's enticing and trying to hire anyone to come to court and to be mazim the witnesses that are coming. So therefore, this pair of witnesses who on their own are, want a sense of justice, and maybe they were with all these 100 pair of witnesses at that time. So we have no reason to assume that they're false. Aval hacha ikka ha de komahadr, but says it's luggage. But in this case of this woman, there is someone who's attempting and hiring false witnesses. And she already has that chazaka that she's hiring false witnesses. And therefore, Rish Lakish says, even Rabban would agree that we would disqualify this third pair of witnesses. Rabbi Yechonon, Malach, Rabbi Yechonon would tell you, I could be saying my teaching even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Ad can look come Rabbi Yehuda Hasam, where do we find that Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda says that there is a chazaka that we presume with this pair of witnesses, that they're istatus, that they're a false witnesses that are trying to just be mazim everyone. That's because Darminan Atukula Amagabe Hane Havakaime? Because we say, what, does that really make sense? That everyone in the world was with them on that same day? Which there's logic that they're lying. That's where Rabbi Huda says that we're going to create the Chazaka. Aval Hacha, but over here, Hani, these third pair of witnesses that the woman brings, maybe we could say, Yadi Bisadusa, they actually know the testimony of this case with this woman. Whereas the first pair of witnesses, the first and the second, they just didn't know, and therefore they were refuted. But that doesn't tell us anything regarding the third pair of witnesses that they don't know, and therefore even Rabbi Huda would agree that there wouldn't be a chazaka on the third pair of witnesses, and they would agree to me, say the Rabbanan, that the third pair of witnesses would be kosher. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the primary mechanics of the halacha of Hazama. Says the Mishnah, Eina Eidim Zeimin Nerogin. The false witnesses, which because of Azama, that they tried to execute someone, now they get executed themselves, they do not get killed, Atshi Gomer Hadin, until that there was already the verdict handed down from the defendant that they tried to prosecute, and only after the verdict was when Hazama happened, that's when they become Eidim Zeimin and they get executed themselves. Because as the Mishnah explains, Shahre HaTzedukin Oimrim Atshi Yaharik. The Tzedukin, the Sadducees, which was a heretical group in amongst the Jewish people that denied the oral law, they only believed, and that's what they said in the written law. They said that actually the halacha of Hazama is only if the defendant was actually killed. And then they were Huzim, then the Edom Zayman get killed. Shanema, like they tried to bring proof in the Pasuk, which our Gersa says a Pasuk of Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, which is a Pasuk in Shemais. But from Rashi's Girsa, and as the Vilna Gaon brings down, it's obvious that the Girsa is Nefesh bin Nefesh, which is actually a Pasuk in Devar, which in the context of Edom Zayman, it says, Leisachis Einka Nefesh B'Nefesh, you should not be merciful a life for a life. Which means that if this person's life was taken, so then you have to take away this person's life. So you see, say the Tzadukim, that it's only if they actually executed the defendant, that then the Edom Zayman get killed. But if it's just the verdict, and he was never killed, then the Edom Zayman are not killed. To which Amalem Chacham, the sages said to the group of the Tzedukim, but Valikvarinem, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Vasisim lo, you should do to him, to the false witness, Kasha Zamam lasses la'achim, like he plotted to do to his brother, which sounds like Vare Achav Kayim, that his brother is still alive. It's just what he plotted to do to his brother. And that's when the Halacha Bazam applies. So, Ve'im Kein Loma Nema Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, or as the Gir says, Nefesh Ben Nefesh, then what does the Pasuk mean when you say a life for a life if we're saying that he's not dead? That's because Yachol Mishosh Shekibul Edusin, you would think to say that from the moment that the testimony of these Edom Zayman is received, and then their Huzim, then immediately right then, even before the verdict of the defendant would be handed down, Yehargu, that the false witnesses would be killed, Tamalayma Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, or Nefesh B'Nefesh, that's what the Pasuk teaches, to tell you that no Ha'ena Einan Aragin Achigam Adin. They're not executed, the Edom Zayman, until the verdict was handed down. Then it's like a dead man, as we said, generally the verdict is like a guy's dead already, but not actually killed, but that's considered a full-fledged Zamam, attempt to kill someone. That's what the Pasuk is teaching by Nefesh B'Nefesh, but not actually be killed, because then it's not Kasha Zam Lasses La'achim, it's actually what they did, and then actually Hazama does not apply, not like the Tzedukim had said. Now the Gemara brings Tana Braisa that elaborates on this halacha. Beribi Eimer, his name was actually Beribi, he said, Loi Hargu Nerogin, as we said in the Mishnah, if the defendant wasn't yet killed, but it was after the verdict, then Nerogin, then the Edom Zayman get killed. Hargu, but if let's say they were not Huzim until the defendant was already killed based on their testimony, then Ein Nerogin, then they're not killed anymore. To which Amma Aviv, his father, said to him, Beni, my son, Lav Kavochemahu, isn't this a Kavochemah? Because if they only attempted to kill, they're executed. If they actually killed, and they did greater damage, isn't it Kavochemah that they should be executed? To which Amma Allah, his son, said to him, Limadetenu Rabbeinu, our teacher taught us, She'ein Einshin Min Hadin, we do not punish based on logic. Where, although logically, yes, of course, but we don't do biblical punishments based on that. The Tanakh, like, learned the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Yikra, Isha Sheyikach Esachais, a man who's going to take his sister, Bas Aviv, either his father's daughter, or Bas Imoy, or his mother's daughter. So that's what the Torah says, he's going to get a punishment. Says the Braisa, Ainli Ela Bas Aviv Shalei Bas Imoy. I only know from the Pasuk, the way it sounds like, it says either his father's daughter or his mother's daughter. So I would only know if it's his father's daughter, which is not his mother's daughter, ubas imish lebas av, or it's his mother's daughter, which is not his father's daughter. That's two different sisters, a paternal sister or maternal sister. Says the Braisa, bas imay ubas av minayin, a full-fledged sister, which is both his mother and his father's daughter. Where do we know that there's a punishment of the erva of a chesay? Tamalema teaches the Braisa from the Pasuk, Ervas Achisagila, the extra words in the Pasuk that the nakedness of his sister he has revealed, that teaches that he gets a punishment for a full-fledged sister too. Now the question is, Achlo Yemer, until the Pasuk doesn't say this, Yeshli Bedin, I should know based on logic that he's going to get a punishment. Im Anish Albas Aviv Shalei Basimoy, if he gets punished for just a halfway sister, which is his paternal sister and which is not his maternal sister, Ubas Imish Lebas Oven, and even if it's just his sister from his mother, not from his father, he gets punished. Bas Av Ubas Imele Koshkin, if it's a full fledged sister, isn't it a Kavuchaimer for sure that he's going to get punished? Says the Gemara Halamata, that comes to teach you She'ein Einshin Min Adin, that no, we don't punish based on logic. Although logic would dictate, we have to say it explicitly in the Torah, and that's why we needed the drasha of Ervas Achisagila. Says the Braisa, Einu Shemanu Azhar Minayin. So that we know that we don't punish based on logic. How do we know that neither is there a prohibition based on logic either? Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Vayikra. It says, Ervas Achisha Vicha Oivasimecha. The nakedness of your sister, whether she be the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, is forbidden to be intimate. Now, says the Braisa, Ainli Ela Bas Aviv, Shalei Bas Imoy. Just reading the Pasuk and says, or I would only know if she's the daughter of your father, which is not the daughter of your mother, or Vas Imoy Shalei Bas Aviv, or your maternal sister, but not your paternal sister, which is you're both from the same mother, but not from the same father. Bas Aviv or Bas Imoy Minayin. How do we know that there's a prohibition if she's a full-fledged sister, you have the same father and mother? Tamalema, that's what Pasuk teaches later on. Ervas Bas Eishas Avicha, the nakedness of the wife of your, of the daughter of the wife of your father. Meledes Avicha, born by your father, Achais Chihi. She's your sister, so it says that she's both from the woman and from your father, which teaches you that it's a full-fledged sister too. Now the question is, Achalayim, until it doesn't say it, Yeshli Menadin, I should know that it's forbidden based on logic. Ma'im hu Zra Bas Imish Lebas Aviv, if there's a prohibition regarding just a maternal that's not paternal sister. Ubas Avish Lebas Ima, or paternal which is not maternal sister. Sabas Av Ubas Ima Lekolshkin, isn't a Kolshkin that if it's both a full-fledged sister from both father and mother, that's going to be forbidden? Halamata, what that comes to teach you why we need a special ribui of Achaisrihi is to tell you She'im Azir Menadin, that we don't give a prohibition based on logic. And therefore he told his father, yeah, although the Kavu Chaimer tells us that if they actually executed the guy, that they should be killed, but the Torah doesn't say that and we don't punish, and neither do we warn, based on logic itself, and that's why the halacha would only apply to Kasha Zamem, but not when they actually executed the defendant. Now the Gemara asked in the halacha of our Mishnah, which said that we do not do the halacha of Hazama until the verdict was handed down and then the Buhuzim, and that we know from, as the answer to the Tzedukim, from Nefesh ben Nefesh, which tells us that it has to be that there was already a verdict, almost like they executed, but not actually. Now, that's talking about, by that pasuk, to machiv and mises, regarding capital punishment. And that is the Gemara, chiv and malchis minayin. From where do we know that if, let's say, they testified regarding a defendant that he's liable for lashes, and then they will huz him, how do we know that the edim zeyman are not going to get lashes unless the verdict was first handed down based on their testimony, and then they will huz him? Says the Gemara, Tamalema, Rasha. We know from Gezeirah Shavah, Rasha. It says Rasha b'chiv Mises. It says Rasha b'chiv Malkis. Just like chiv Mises, the halacha is that Hazam is only if it was after Gemara Din, so too b'chiv Malkis. Ask the Gemara, chiv Golias. What's with regarding a case when the Edom had testified regarding that the defendant is liable to go into exile? They said he killed by mistake. And then the Wuhuzim, which the opening Mishnah of our Masechta said, that the Edom Zayman don't get the same punishment of Golas, rather they get 39 lashes, minayin, where do we know that there it's also only if they were huzim after the verdict was handed down? Because these edim zayman, since their lashes are not from the halacha of kasha zamam, because their lashes are not actually kasha zamam, they attempted to make this guy get galus, and they're getting actually different halacha, they're getting lashes, so their lashes cannot be learned out from the gezeirah shavah of Rasha. Because from there we don't learn out regarding the Edom Zayman only regarding if the wickedness that they tried making to the defendant to get lashes, because actually the Gezeirah Shavah of Rasha is talking about the defendant, what they attempted to get him Chiva Mises or get him Chiva Malkis. So that we learn in Gezeirah Shavah, where if it was already a verdict, then the Edom Zayman get that same punishment. Now, the question is, but regarding Chiva Golias, which is not learned out from that, because their lashes is their own, it's not what they tried to make the defendant, how do we know that there's also going to be that their lashes is only if they were hosem after the judgment was handed down, that this defendant has to go into Golias and then they were hosem? Aseretzech, that's one from the different Gezeirah Shavah. It says murder by Chiva Mises Bezdin. It says murder by Chiva Golias, just like Chiva Mises Bezdin, that it's the Hazama is only if it was after Gemara Din, so too, by Galus, the Hazama is only going to be after Gemara Din. The Tanya Lutna Braisa, relating to the halachas of Hazama, Amar Yehuda ben Taba, he says, Ere ben Nechama, I will see consolation, which either it means to say, he was saying euphemistically, he says, I will not see consolation, but it's just that the Gemara is switching his cursing of himself to a blessing. Or another interpretation is that he was saying, I will see consolation, meaning a curse, I will see the death of he will see the death of his sons, and then he'll see their consolation because people will come to comfort him. Im loy harakti eid zaymim, if I did not kill a witness that was huzim, where only one of the two witnesses were huzim, and I had him executed, and the reason why I did this, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Taba, was lahitzi miliben shel tzedukim, was to remove from the thought process of the tzedukim, shahoyim, that they said, as we said in our Mishnah, they said that Edom Zayman are not killed until the defendant was executed, and then they huzim, then he gets executed. But if not, if the verdict was just handed down, they said that there's no execution, and I was coming to show them that they're wrong, and therefore when one of these two witnesses were huzim, that, and even though the defendant was not killed, I went and had him executed. On that, Shem Meshadach said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, Ereb ben Nechama, I will see consolation, meaning he was cursing himself if he's wrong. Im loy shafachta damnoki, if you didn't spill innocent blood. Shari amr chacham, because the sages say, which is a Mishnah that says, just like by two witnesses, ein ha'edim zoymen erogin, the Edom Zemen do not get executed, Ad She'ezumu Shnehem, until both of the witnesses are Huzam. Because the Pasuk says, V'hine Eid Sheker Ha'Eid. The Pasuk of Edom Zemen says that the witnesses had said false testimony. Now the Gemara says, Beginim Sef Lesaytu, wherever it says the word Eid, although it's singular, it means a unit of two witnesses. Until it says Eid Echad, as we find somewhere else. That's then when it means one of the two witnesses. But in the Edom Zemen, it says that both of the witnesses, the whole unit has to be Huzam. And so to the Ein Loikin at Shezum Mishneim, we don't give the Edom Zemen lashes until both of them are Huzam. Comes out that you actually killed the innocent guy. Because although, yeah, halacha of Edom Zemen is not like the Tzedukim, it's even if just the verdict was handed down, that's only if both were Huzam, and here only one of the two witnesses were Huzam. So Miyad Kibbutz Lov Rabbi Yehuda Metabe, so immediately Rabbi Yehuda Metabe accepted upon himself, She'ein Amayir Hara, that he's not going to paskin halachas, he's not going to judge law, Elifnei Shem Meshadach, unless he's in front of Shem Meshadach, where if he's going to make a mistake, then Shem Meshadach could correct him. And so too, B'chol Yomav Shem Rabbi Yehuda Metabe, all the days of Rabbi Yehuda Metabe, Ha'i Mishtateach Akiva Shalaisa Eid, he would prostrate himself on the grave of that witness who he had killed, V'ha'i Koyle Nishman, his voice was heard. Now, Ukesvur and Ha'am Loimah, the people thought to say, Koyle Shal Harak, what's that wailing that we hear? It's actually the voice of the victim, because either it was at nighttime or even in daytime, but they didn't see, they thought that was the noise of the victim. Amr, Rehud Metabe said, no, Koyle Shalihu, don't worry, don't think it's the victim, it's my voice crying over what I did. And Teidu, you should know, because Lamachahu Meis, tomorrow, meaning at a future time, he will die, meaning referring to himself. Ain't Kaili Nishma, you're not going to hear his voice anymore because it's me wailing, not the victim. To which Amalei Ravacha Berei the Rebbe Ravashi, he said, that's not a proof that it's Rebbe Yehuda Metabe's voice, because Dilma Bedina Kam Bahadeh, maybe, yeah, when he passed away, the wailing will stop because the victim will bring Rebbe Yehuda Metabe to justice in the next world. Or Inami Piyuse Paise, maybe Rebbe Yehuda Metabe is going to appease him, but it doesn't prove that it's his voice and not the wailing sound of the victim who is killed innocently. Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on qualifying a halacha, one of these interpretations of the Mishnah on the halacha of Edom Zayman. Pasuk says in Devarim, "Api shnayim edim oishleisha edim yumas hameis." Based on the testimony of a pair of two witnesses or of three witnesses, the one who's supposed to be killed will be prosecuted. I mean, you have to have at least two or three witnesses or more, but you have to have a certain amount of witnesses to prosecute someone to kill him. Now the question is, if the pasuk is telling us that we qualify a pair of witnesses to execute a defendant if there's two of them, so lamed parta kasta b'shleisha, why does the Torah specify or three witnesses? Of course, two and three is not making any worse. Why does it have to say that? Ella rather says the Tanna Kama lahakish shleisha l'shnayim. It was coming to compare three witnesses to two witnesses. And that is mash leisha mezimah deshashnayim. Just like we know that obviously regarding halacha of azama, that three witnesses who are the second pair of witnesses could be mazim the first pair of witnesses if they're only two, because three is more than two. Afashnayim yuzuma es agimel. It's teaching us that they're both the same. So too, if the second pair of witnesses is two and the first pair of witnesses is three, it doesn't make a difference. They're considered one unit, and the second pair, even though they have less people, could be mazim the first pair. Now says the Tanna Kama, Menayin Afilu Meah, and even, how do we know if even the first pair of witnesses is 100, still the second pair of witnesses has the same strength as long as there are two? Tamalem Eidim, that's what it says in the plural, Eidim witnesses, which is plural, however much the plurality is, doesn't make a difference. That's the Tanna Kama's interpretation of why it says also three. Shimonim, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Mashnaim ein in the Rogan Achiyush name Zaymin, just like by two witnesses, that they do not get executed until both of the witnesses are Huzim, as we said earlier. Avshleisha ein the Rogan Achiyush Lashon Zaymin, what the Pasuk is teaching us, that so too, you have to be Mazim the whole unit, and that is, even if there's three, it's not enough of being Mazim two of the three, you have to be Mazim all three of them. How do we know that even if there's 100, that if you'll be mazim 99 of the 100, it's not going to be mazim them until all of them are huzim? That's what the plurality, it's unspecified of witnesses, comes to tell you, that no matter how many there are, you have to be mazim all of them. Third interpretation, Rabbi Kiva, he says, he disagrees with Tanna Kama and Rabbi Shimon. He says, loy bo hashlishi lahakel. That third witness is not coming to create a leniency, which he says, the Pasuk doesn't have to teach us the halacha of the Tanna Kama, because obviously we know that the second pair of witnesses, even though they're two, can be mazim the first pair of witnesses, even though they're three, because two witnesses are kosher for all testimonies in the Torah. We don't care how many people are disagreeing with them, they're still considered one unit of testimony. So obviously we know that. Now additionally, we know automatically the halacha of Reb Shimon, where the witnesses are not going to be huzim until they're all huzim, because they're all, as we said, one unit of testimony. As the pasuk says, "Vehini aid sheker her aid." It's calling both pair of witnesses a singular unit of aid. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, not coming to create a leniency like Rabbi Shimon says, but rather, "Ela lahachmerla." The pasuk is actually coming to create a stringency on this unit of testimony, and that is that the third witness should not say what he means. Even without him, the witnesses would be a full-fledged testimony. So therefore, when they're huzim, he wants to say that don't do hazama on me. That's what the pasuk is teaching, that even he's considered from those who are establishing the fact of this testimony, because even though it could have been without him, but he's coming along and he's being the third will. V'lasa is din ke'etzebela, and that we should make his halacha just like them, which is just like they're going to be getting kashas up, they're going to get the same punishment they attempted to do. Since he was the third will, but he's part of that testimony, he's going to get the same punishment. To which Rabbi Akiva says, "V'im kein on the shakasav." This is how the pasuk punishes a person: lenitfalo avery averik averik, who someone who's just secondary to the sinners. They give him the same halacha as the sinners themselves. We didn't even need him to make the testimony, and yet since he's joining them, he gets the same punishment of kashas amim. So all the more so that someone who just is an add-on to those who are performing mitzvahs will get the same reward as those who are performing the mitzvah themselves. Because as we find, that the Hashem's measurement of good is much more than his measurement of punishment. Because as the pasuk says, Hashem safeguards kindness for 2,000 generations, whereas in regards to punishment, just says al shalishim al rebaim, just for 3 or 4 generations, we see how much greater, for sure, if someone is just secondary to a mitzvah, for sure he's going to have the same halacha as the primary people who are performing the mitzvah. Now, additionally, another halacha that is learned out as a stringency on these, what the pasuk is teaching regarding shalisha edim, is a mashnam, just like when there's a pair of just two witnesses, nimtze echad men karvei pasul edus mitela, if one of the two witnesses turns out is a relative to one of the proponents of the court case, or he's someone that's invalid to testify, the whole testimony of that witnesses is void of shleisha, so too when there's three witnesses, even though without that third one, even if he's invalidated, you still have two. Still, since they're one unit, if nimtze echad men karvei pasul, if you find one of them, a relative, or that he's pasul, edusim b'teila, the whole testimony is thrown out. How do we know that even if there's 100 witnesses all coming together, the same testimony, and one of them is voided, the whole thing is thrown out? That's what we learn that from the unspecified plurality of Edom, which wasn't necessary. We already said we're talking about Edom. Ishlesha Edom comes in no matter how many there are, this stringency will apply to this additional Edom of Karva Apostle. Now, as we continue on top of Avim and Aleph, from Rabbi Yisi, he says, but when did we say this halacha? That's only bedin nefashis, by capital punishment, where the Torah tells us v'tzilu ha'ed, that you should save the assembly, which is that we have to try attempts to protect and defend and not execute that defendant. So that's where we're going to say the halacha, that even though you didn't need that 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 witness, and if one of them still becomes pasul, so we're going to throw out the whole thing, because we try ways of protecting the defendant. But, says Rabbi Yisi, avol bedin mamonis, regarding monetary law, tiskayim ha'edus b'shar, then yeah, so even if the third one is invalidated, but you still have two witnesses, then that's a valid testimony, and we will validate it based on the remaining two. To which Rabbi Yemi, he disagrees, he says, no, echad din mamonis, whether it's monetary law, still we're going to say that the testimony is void, and echad din nefashis, and the same thing applies to capital punishment, that yeah, if even one of the 100 is invalidated, the whole thing is void. Now, but says the Mishnah, but the emesai, when did we say regarding capital punishment that we're going to void the whole testimony, even if it's 1 out of 100, is bezman shehisru behem. That is, if that relative or that pasul aid joined together originally with the witnesses to be from those who are warning the sinner regarding his crime that he's about to do, which is necessary that the witnesses have to have warned him too, which is kol hasra. That's when we're going to invalidate the whole edus based on one of them becoming pasul. But if he was not from one of those who was warning the perpetrator, he was not from one of those who was attempting to be from the witnesses, then it's not going to be invalidating the other witnesses because he just happened to have been a spectator at that time. Because as the Mishnah explains, because then what are you going to do if two brothers just happen to have seen with just another person that was there, regarding someone that's committing a murder? That would come out that if any time two brothers, let's say, which are relatives, happen to have seen the crime, that means you can't execute the perpetrator. So you just, and we'll just kill in front of two brothers. And yeah, two brothers were witnesses, and even if 1,000 people saw, but two brothers, then you have to mevatel edusan. That's what it says. The Mishnah says no, it's only if he came to be part of the edim. He was from those who warned. And then we find them possible, then we're going to throw out the whole thing again by the halacha of din nefashas. But if he just happened to have been a spectator, but he was not attempting to warn together with the others, the fact that he's possible is not going to invalidate the rest of the edim.